Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The words of Scripture which are set before us this morning are recorded in the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." So far, our text. Dear friends, in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior, one might be tempted to explore the part of this gospel text that says that Jesus puts his fingers in the man's ears and that he spat and touched his tongue in order to see what the significance of those actions might be. And surely there is some significance. But that nevertheless will not take us to the heart of the matter. The heart of it here is simply that Jesus worked his will by speaking the words, "Ephatha," be opened. And this speaks to us about the power of God's word. God works his will by speaking a word, that is, by willing it. In the beginning, it says, God created the heavens and the earth. "Let there be light," he said, and there was light. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the Lord of all things, says, "Your sins are forgiven," and then take up your bed and walk. His sins were forgiven, and he did walk. Jesus stands outside of the grave of his friend Lazarus, who has been dead for 3 days. And he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus emerges from his grave, not as a ghost or a shadow, but as a living, walking, breathing man. And we can hardly forget that our Lord Jesus also leaves the faithful with the promise that at the last day the dead will be raised again by his word. The word is coming when those who are in the graves will hear his voice and shall come forth. That's also the resurrection that St. Paul describes. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And indeed, we can imagine that the voice of the righteous judge, "Ye dead, come forth," pierces the atmosphere like a trumpet and accomplishes what it intends to accomplish. Now, if the life of the world is begun with his speaking a word, and physical life and health are restored with his speaking a word, then the spiritual life of his creatures is also upheld with his word of power. And St. Paul drew exactly that connection when he writes in his second letter to the Corinthians, "It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." St. Peter writes, "You have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." And James echoes that when he says, "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth." So just as all things were created by his word, also the new birth in our hearts is by his word. The word which Jesus spoke in this miracle, "Ephphatha," be opened, that should be familiar to us. We begin our Matins and Vespers liturgies with those words from Psalm 51, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise." The visible miracle of Jesus in this gospel was that the ears and the mouth of this man who could neither speak, hear nor speak, were opened so that he could hear and speak. But Jesus' miracle is not limited to that. And in fact, this miracle sends us to that greater miracle, that it is to a heart which will neither hear, that is, believe, nor praise God, that Jesus comes. And with the powerful words of his gospel, he opens hearts to believe the promise of God and to confess it and to praise God for it. And everything that he does in and for his children is accomplished in that way. He gives us new life in baptism, in that gracious water of life, which is made life-giving by his powerful word. And there he brings forth life, where before there was spiritual darkness and death. He feeds us in the preaching of his word, not because the words of the preacher are so eloquent or so moving, but because the word preached is the word of the gospel, life-giving, life-creating. He feeds us with those things which were given for our atonement, his body and his blood, given up on the cross as the sacrifice for all sin. He gives it to us by his powerful creating word in the bread and the wine. "This is my body," he says. "This is my blood, given for you for the remission of sins." Powerful words. The witnesses of the miracle responded, "He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." When we hear that, we certainly ought to think of ourselves. Who in our sinful world of silence could neither hear his word or honor him? But he has opened our hearts to hear his word and our lips to sing his praise. Let there be no end to that. To him alone be the glory. Amen.